5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go! All right, guys, this is Freeman from ZombieCast and Knuckleball Radio. You're listening to the most awkward thing on earth, the Hardly Awkward Podcast. I love you, brother.
Hey, it's Matt Bradford with Video Game Outsiders and ZombieCast, and you're about to get horribly awkward with this Sean guy. And believe me, it gets awkward.
Yo, yo, this is Yogi from Horseplay Live. You're listening to Sean Imes. Horribly awkward. I farted. I think I may have pooted myself. Is that awkward? Yeah, horribly awkward. Tune in. Don't turn it off. Don't turn it off. Okay, bye.
This is Mike from XD Experience, and this is Horribly Awkward.
Hey, dude, hey, can you help me with this gun? I got this shotgun. I'm dropping the shells down the barrel. I'm stuffing them. I got 5 or 6 down this barrel. But when I pull the trigger, it's just, look at click, click, nothing. I mean, I'm putting the bullets in the barrel. Is that what I'm supposed to do?
Well, you're supposed to eject one from the, you know, the actual massing chamber into the actual chamber.
The chamber is the long tube, right?
Yes. The chamber is the long tube. Is the safety off?
I got my I'm stuffing it down there. I got like a musket. Like I'm putting the bullets into down the barrel, and I'm stuffing it down. Like I'm
I don't think
it.
That's healthy. That's probably not healthy for you, sir. Bullets go in the bottom of the gun, not in the barrel. It's not a musket. That's what a musket is.
Wait,
is a shotgun.
But I've seen the old movies where they stick the bullet into the barrel and they stuff it down with the stick. Like I'm poking. I got the stick. I got this branch. I'm poking it down there. And
what kind of branch are you using?
Is the branch the problem? I mean, it's redwood.
I mean, if you're using maple, that could probably be a problem.
Oh, well, but the bullet goes down in the tube, right? It goes
Okay. Seem like a pretty young, technical, kind of savvy guy. Have you ever played a video game?
Oh, yeah, but in the video games,
don't load shells through the barrel, do they?
I don't know. I just push X and it happens. I don't get it.
That is not real life, sir.
Here, look at
me. My dad always told
here,
me.
Here, I'm gonna point the gun at you. Look down the barrel.
No, I know. What the hell?
Wait. Look down the
no
barrel.
No pointing
wait,
guns oh, at people.
I'm sorry.
Didn't you take like a health safety course? Watch that muzzle, damn it.
No, wait. Look down the barrel. Look at sir. Look down the barrel.
What is that?
Hey.
There's something down in there.
Oh no. What is that?
I don't know. Don't put your finger on the trigger.
Oh my god! I only want to do is shoot this gun. I got a couple squirrels. I want to kill a couple neighbors.
I don't think that's a shell. What did you stuff down in here?
BBs. Or no, maybe they're acorns.
With like gum? I mean, did you put it in like sticky tack?
Yeah, so it'd stay until I pulled the trigger. It would stay in there.
Well, see, there's your problem. You can't put it down there with a maple stick.
Oh no, man! This is horribly awkward, man.
You're supposed to use like pine.
I feel so uncomfortable now. Since we're already feeling horribly awkward, I don't know where to go from here, man, but you know what? Let's just get horribly awkward. Are you ready, Mr. Mitchell?
I feel a little awkward, yeah.
Here we go, guys. Let's get horribly awkward.
Horribly awkward.
Horribly awkward.
Sean, dude, you're horribly awkward.
Sean, I know you think this is weird, but it's not as weird as you think it is, dude.
Don't think that it's awkward.
Welcome to episode 19 of Horribly Awkward. I am your host, Sean. As always, another podcast and another kick-ass awesome guest. Boom. This is going to be amazing. Thanks for listening, you guys. If you guys want to help in any way, I mean, it's very simple. It's very simple. Just reach out, you know, spread the word, spread the love, tell a friend, go on iTunes, give me 5 stars, because I'm worth 5 stars, give me a thumbs up on Stitcher, all that good stuff, you guys, and just come and find me. If you want to find me on Twitter, I'm awkward_podcast, I got a Facebook page, you guys can like that, blah, blah, blah. My name is Sean Fuller, if you guys want to get personal on Facebook. Also, I got a voicemail, 510-600-3475. Drop me a voicemail about whatever you want. I would love to hear it, and I'd love to play it on the show. If you want to do it the old school way and type me something, horriblyawkwardpodcast@gmail.com. Also, my other show is Horrible Gamers with the Z, with the Z. And actually, Horrible Gamers just got picked up by the All Games Network today. So we will be on there soon doing live shows on Saturday nights, guys. I'm really excited about that. But you know what? On today's show, I'm very excited to do this show. This is going to be really, really awesome. Straight out of the state of Texas. This is one super cool dude, you guys. Currently a jailer in the Cherokee County, Texas, and previously a member of the Crazy House. When I say the Crazy House, I mean the Crazy House. Ah, we'll let him talk a little more about it. But he's a huge gamer as well and does some Twitch streaming, so he'll plug that stuff later if you guys want to watch him stream on Twitch. And that's actually where I found him, and he was super entertaining. And then he talked about his occupation. I was like, dude, I got to have you on the show. So, I mean, I met this guy for 2 minutes, and I was like, I got to have you on Horribly Awkward. So he is on Horribly Awkward. He goes by Smokey J. His real name is Ian. Ian, what is up, man?
What's up?
What is up, dude? This is going to be fun. I get a lot of podcasters and stuff, but I was like, I got to have this guy on the show.
I was kind of like, holy crap, starting off new on Twitch, and this guy starts talking to me. I'm like, yay, someone loves me.
That's because you got a good personality. You're like, what's a podcast? I don't get it.
Well, I mean, I didn't expect anything from it. I was just like, hey, you know what? It's here. Might as well use it.
Yeah, dude. You're an inspiring cop. You want to be a cop. You're gonna be a cop. Is that a derogatory term? Like when people say cop,
you know,
is that negative?
It used to be. I remember when I was a little kid, my dad would be like, it's not called a cop, it's a policeman.
Yeah.
But, you know, the thing is nowadays, the word cop means something totally different. You know, as far as I'm concerned, it's just easier to say cop. Hi, ma'am, I'm a cop. How you know.
So you don't take any offense to that?
I really don't. I mean, me personally, I think a cop is more of a tougher word than police. Excuse me, ma'am, I'm the police. I mean, who the hell came up with that?
It just takes up too much time to say police.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah, it's like, I'm a cop, please move back. You know, that's a lot quicker.
breaker, 10-4.
Yeah.
So what have you been up to, man? I mean, like I really, like, you're going to, hopefully you got some cool stories. And I know you do already, because we played Halo a couple weeks ago or last week, and you had a couple stories. And I was like, man, I can't wait to do the show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this is
I've got tons of stories and little clips and all little things. It just depends on which one we want to start with. Now, we were going to do a competition, wasn't it?
Oh, this is the competition now. Okay. My stories aren't that exciting.
So we have three stories.
Oh, no, no. We'll definitely do, you want to do that first? Let's do that,
you guys.
We
can. I don't care. It's totally up to you.
Okay. We're gonna play two lies and a truth, but we're doing it backwards. We're gonna play two truths and a lie, because I know he's got a lot of cool stories. Ian's got some cool stories. He's gonna tell me three things, and I'm gonna try to figure out which one is real. And let's see what happens right now. Ian, go ahead, drop me those stories, and I'm gonna find out which one you're a liar. And if I find out which one you're a liar, you're just not a good liar.
Oh, darn, I hate that. Well, I'm going to talk to you from all three of them as if it was first person happening at that moment. Now, granted, you can probably hear this. I have papers in front of me, so I have
prepared.
Notes as well.
I know. He's well prepared, you guys. He's like, I got notes. Let me bring up my notes. Let me bring up my files. Let me download my Dropbox. I got all kinds of stuff. But go for it, man. Go for it.
All right. So the first story was when I was working at the state hospital, which is the mental house, basically. It's the mentally ill hospital, and it's a complete forensics, which means that everyone there is usually a criminal in some form or fashion, which means that I'm not going to be using any real names to save the public, but I'm walking into a unit that's called Angelina, and I'm being basically used as a reservist. My units were the Nuasis units, and we were the largest ones, so they would pull people and staff from that location. When I came over, I'm signing in on the log board. I'm pissed as hell. I do not want to be on this unit. It is the drug rehab unit. I'm signing in, write my name. As soon as I look left, there's a guy named Elam, and he does impersonations of actors. Fantastically, I might add.
Okay.
Today, he was Sean Connery. I can hear him in the left side of my head, and he's sitting there asking this one guy, he's in a horror, money penny, give me a pen. And I was like, oh, Jesus, Elam's up. And all of a sudden, this guy sitting there stands up, screams at the top of his lungs, get the fuck away from me, and stabs him right in the fucking neck with a pen.
Ooh.
So my first thought is, oh, shit. I dropped my pen and all that crap. I yelled for a nurse, and I grabbed my gloves that are always in my pocket. Went over there. Motherfucker, Elam is on the ground screaming. He is flipping out like a stuck pig. All I have to do is – I'm like, okay, I'm going to hold the fucking pen in his neck, I guess. Now, granted, this is not like Hollywood. There is not a whole lot of blood. It stuck him in the left side of the neck, and he's bleeding a little bit. But it's just meat. God. That's all it is. So I'm like, ah, shit. So about the time I'm getting down there, I'm saying his name, and I'm like, don't, and he pulled it out, and that's when it started bleeding. I was like, motherfucker. So I have my gloves on, stick my middle finger in his neck, oh, and I'm holding pressure. And you're like, okay, Elam, you'll be all right. That other guy is walking away saying, motherfucker, should have left me alone. And that was 6 months into working at the state hospital.
Oh, dude, I hope that's real. You stuck your finger in someone's neck, dude.
He survived and was taken to the hospital, was given like 4 stitches and like 6 internal ones. And yeah, he was back within about 3 days talking like some other actor. I think it was like Dustin Hoffman or something like that. You never know with him. He was always saying something. All right, story number 2.
Hold on a second. You know the funny thing is, you're probably the crazy one. Ian's probably a crazy dude. He's never worked these jobs.
This is my first official job as far as moving away from my house.
I know, but that's the joke about it, man. You're really the crazy guy. You've never left your house in 10 years, man. You're just imagining these stories.
Man, you would be walking down those halls of that hospital, and you'd be like, wait, hold on. And you'd double back, and you'd go, ah, shit, I'm seeing a cat, and there's no cats on this ward. You start feeling a little crazy. Like, every once in a while, you'll try to, like, mimic somebody's twitch or something in your shoulder, and you go, what the fuck, man? I don't want to do that.
All right, man, story number 2.
All right, story number 2 was with a woman named Sarah. This is while I'm working at the SO, which is Sheriff's Department. I'm a jailer. I'm walking in, and I'm actually, again, I'm a reservist. I'm brought on to second shift, not third, because they don't have enough people, and third shift has too many. Funny how these stories keep happening. So I'm walking in. They tell me, hey, Mitchell, I need you to run snack. Snack consists of bananas and ice and apples. Now, who the hell came up with that fucking trio is beyond me. But I don't make the rules. Like I always say at work, I just work here, Dave. So I'm walking by. We have this lady named Sarah. She is a nutcase. This woman has torn her light fixture off the wall. Live wires are exposed, and she is flat on her back, sprawled out like a freaking eagle. I was sitting there going, holy shit. She tried to grab the stuff, electrocuted herself, and blew her ass back into the cell.
Oh, no.
So I knock on the window, and I'm like, hey, Sarah, are you all right? She's like, I fell. Yeah, that was it. That was all she said. Now, this woman has been causing us problems for 6 months. I have unbelievably amount of reports on this person. So I'm sitting there going, okay, fine. So I call for the person in charge. We don't have rank at that time, so no one's really in charge. And they all look at me and go, well, just go ahead and finish snack, and then we'll just get her out. I go, are you fucking insane? There's live wires in there, and she said she fell. I was like, y'all are morons. I'm taking over. So I said, open the damn door. And when you open the doors on these, it is kind of like you've seen on TV. You hear this really loud thump and this horrible noise. And what it is she's in a single cell that's probably 12 by 6.
Yeah.
And it consists of a bed, a sink, a shower, a toilet that is connected to the sink, and a TV. So when I call for the door, all you hear is this, and then poosh, and then you open the door. You hear the plunger go open. So I'll go in there, and I'm like, Sarah, are you all right? She said, I fell. That's all she kept on saying. I can't feel my back. I'm like, great. She's broke her spine. This crazy bitch has ruined my life. So we call for the nurse. The nurse gets there. Now, the nurse She looks like a junkie anyways to me, but, you know, I don't know any junkies. So she doesn't know what the hell to do. Now, this is the nurse. I'm like, holy shit, all right. I said, so let's go ahead and try to see if we can move her, if she can feel anything. Touch her toes. I'm like, you know, my mom's been a nurse for 27 years, so I kind of know how to check somebody's bullshitting. So I poked her toe and her feet reacted. I said, she's fine. Get her up. So we sit her up. She's acting like everything hurts. She's flipping out. About that time, she makes a burst for the damn door. Hauls ass out the fucking door, goes down the hallways a ways, and starts just freaking out, screaming down there, yelling and shit, saying, let us out. So here's all of our asses chasing her down the fucking hallway. And all I'm thinking when we're running down there is going, great, the fucking captain's going to get this in the morning, and he's going to be like, look at these dipshits, because we got like hundreds of cameras. Then it's going to go to the sheriff, and I'm never going to get sponsored from this place. They're going to be like, Mitchell, let us down. So we end up getting down there. We grabbed her. Turns out that she's a pretty good fighter. She hit several of us, bit one lady, freaking tore out of us. We grabbed her. She somehow got her shirt off. I don't know how the hell that happened in the midst of it. But we got four staff members down there. We get her in a restraint chair and finally get her back to a cell. And had to put that sucker into maintenance, and that was story number two.
Dude, all I can hear is like circus music going, like.
Oh my god! Yeah, I mean that's literally you're going. I cannot believe this shit is happening to me.
That's all I can.
All right.
I just picture you guys running circles, like you know the old movies and shit. Like when they're chasing somebody,
oh, Benny
like
Hill.
Like, no, like a movie like where you're chasing somebody like around a desk or something right, in one right. room and they're like as they go around one way, you go around the other way and then they go back. Like, you know,
well, and the thing is we've only got two hallways and you've got about four doors to walk to just to get into the jail. So there is no way she's getting out.
Yeah.
She was just insane.
The crazy house.
Yes. Oh, well, that one was at a sheriff's department. You'd be surprised what drugs do to you.
Damn, I know what drugs do to me, man. I've been a drug addict. I've done all the crazy stuff, but I haven't done that. I kept to myself and just did.
There you go. See, do drugs at home, people. Don't drink and drive or do meth and decide to beat the hell out of your wife at 4 a.m. on Christmas.
Yeah. I've been through it, man. I've been through it. Luckily, I'm one of those people who is actually able to get out of it and live a normal life after
That's good. Yeah. And in this line of work, working with these mentally impaired patients and then working at the SO, you know, man, somebody would say that and you're somewhat worried that they'll judge you, especially if it's someone who's in law enforcement. And the thing is, like, if a man can turn his shit around, I'm super happy about it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I say congratulations. But I've never actually been biased towards them. It's like these people are people too. You can't just fuck somebody off because they decided to do drugs. Now, when that guy's like – or woman is like, hey, you know, it's not my fault. I had a bad – you know what? Fuck you off. Nobody put a gun to your head and made you shoot that heroin, okay? I had a rough fucking life too, but I turned out okay.
Yeah.
I think.
It's
but like you said, I could be crazy. I'm sitting in my house right now just drooling on myself. This is all the truth.
Yeah, you're on the podcast with this weird, awkward dude named Sean, man, telling these crazy stories. Story number three.
All right, so story number three. We get a woman in. We're going to say her name is Chantel.
Chantel. I don't like that name.
That was actually her first name. All I'm using is first names. Okay. She comes in and she seems really freaking nervous. Now, this is at the SO. I've been there a year now at this point, so I'm getting pretty good at being able to tell people.
Yeah, okay.
She's kind of moving and tapping her toes. The sheriff's department that brought her in, her name is Krill. She's a really badass deputy, and she brings in this lady, and she's got an awkward feeling about her too. We're thinking she's probably got drugs. Now, that's a state jail felony in the state of Texas, and it's a prohibited substance inside of a correctional facility. So I'm thinking, okay, this girl's probably got something on her. And so she's tapping her feet, says she's got to pee. I mean, she says that like six times. And I literally just told her, hey, no. You're not going to the bathroom. Not yet. We got to ask you medical questions and we'll dress you up. And I mean, she's really nervous. And I finally ask her all the medical questions, which, oh my gosh, if I had a print off of the medical questions, you'd die. That shit's hilarious as hell. We'll get to that here in a minute. Maybe. Like one of the questions is, do you believe that someone can control your mind or read your thoughts?
Is that a real thing?
Who the fuck wants to ask that question?
Who wants to answer that question? Because what if that's real? If someone's controlling my mind, I ain't going to tell you.
Exactly. I'm like, man, I've worked in a crazy house. You can't just fucking ask them, are you crazy, sir? No. He's wearing a boot on his fucking head. Of course he is. Oh, man, that's the thing. Crazy people don't know they're crazy. So continuing on, we're sitting there, and the lady goes into the bathroom. When she goes into the bathroom, our female CO, which stands for correctional officer, steps out, and she goes, Mitchell, we got a problem. And I was like, oh, shit, yo, a weapon. I'm thinking, you know, this bitch done brought a shank in here or something. You know, they'll tough anywhere, okay? That's all I'm saying. So no, it's a strap-on.
Oh, my God.
This woman is wearing a strap-on.
Oh, shit.
The person in question was going to her girlfriend's house and decided to break her grandma's window. So what's grandma do? She calls the cops. Get this bitch up on out of my house. So she comes to jail with this on. I'm like, well, hold the phone. So I'm like, what do we do? So Krill and Ford, who are the two deputies that arrested her, have to come back and label it. And what it is when you're doing inventory, you have to put certain things in certain categories. And you're going, so what do we put this in? And Ford goes, you won't fucking believe this, but it falls under a deadly weapon.
Oh,
and
no.
We're like, no shit. A strap-on is a deadly weapon. We just fucking died. This woman, I've never seen, you know, and it's nothing against black people, but I've never seen a black person blush. And this woman is just embarrassed as hell. And I asked her, I was like, you didn't just wait to be like, put that on when you got to your girlfriend's house? I'm like, I don't know, man. I don't just walk in the house with a hard on like, hey, baby, what's up? You know, hold on. I'll be in the bathroom. I'll come out. You know, I don't wear strap-ons. I want that to be very clear.
Okay, yeah, let's make that very clear.
So we're sitting there. It was unbelievable. So no one wants to touch this thing. Well, I'm all about the fucking weird. So I'm like, it's not as long as I thought.
Oh,
I was like,
no.
What the fuck? And I go, purple. That's an interesting choice. And that is story number three.
Dude, if you can only feel the muscles in my face, man, it hurts, dude. Man, you need to be a stand-up comedian, man.
I've been told that by many people, and I think it's bullshit. I'm not that funny.
Dude, you're funny, man. Like, I haven't smiled and laughed this hard on the podcast. I'm holding those laughs in, and it's just turning into muscle, like, contractions in my face.
I'm holding them in. It's like gastric bypass.
Okay, dude. Okay. I want that third story to be fucking real so bad. I want the first story to be real. I want you to have stuck a finger in someone's neck. And I want you to have found a strap-on on
a
chick.
I gave three profound stories. One was blood, one was with physical action, and the other one was with sexual content. Well, so it's now up to you.
Refresh my second story. Your second story, what was that?
The second story was Sarah, who we had to fight, who was running down the hallway.
Okay, I'm going to say the second story was false.
You would be...
Come on. Tick, 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 tick,
correct.
Tick, tick. Yes, I knew it. The first and this third story are too fucking incredible to be not be real, man.
That is the truth. In actuality, can I actually tell you what happened with Sarah that day?
Yeah, for sure.
In actuality, everything happened according all the way up to the point where she broke free. No inmate gets away from me. I've never had one run down the hallway on me. And I've been doing this for a while. She actually had faked it, had thrown herself against her bed and made herself red on their back. Well, I knew she was bullshitting because I had seen it on the camera. And we placed her into a restraint chair and stuck her in a room for an hour because that's what you do when there's physical harm towards oneself. She didn't like that shit too much at all.
Nah, hell no.
But I like my story better.
Yeah, I mean, those are fun stories, man. It's your line of work is way different than mine. Mine, I go out there and just – I scrub parking lots clean. Nothing exciting. Every once in a while, I'll run into a homeless guy, and he's like weird, and,
Now, hopefully when you run into him, you actually give him like a dollar or something. Like, hey, sorry, man, I hit you with my car.
Well, no. There's a couple of homeless guys who live on properties I do, and I see them every week and stuff.
There you go.
And they're cool. They don't ask for much. I always tell them, because we change bags, the liners and stuff.
Yeah.
So I tell them, if you guys need bags, because they'll take bags. They'll take the liners.
Sure.
And then all the trash will be in the dumpster. We have to dig it out by hand. So,
well, and that's the thing, like one of my friends, they actually live up in Austin, and like there's a huge underpass that is just full of homeless people, and there's a church that actually goes out there and actually preaches to them every Sunday. And so I kind of developed this thing of whatever I can pick out of my wallet when they ask, I give it to them, no matter what it is, as long as it's not a 50. So like the first dollar bill that I pull out, I've given a 20 out before and go, damn, I really wish I would have had that. But, you know, that's charity. That's part of being a good person.
Yeah, definitely, man. Like karma gets you back in ways, you know.
Oh,
karma
yeah.
builds up over time. You do enough good stuff. I mean, a lot of people don't believe in that. But I think, you know, and good people do have bad things happen to them. I mean, just the way that's
Well, and I mean, I consider myself a Christian, non-denominational. I don't follow under anything. I'm a biblicist, if you want to put it that way. But, you know, Jesus says share, and charity is love. So there you have it.
Yeah, definitely. So when I run into the homeless people who live on these properties, I mean, they don't really live there. They kind of just hang out. But, like, I always offer them bags and stuff. Like, you guys need bags? Like, let me know. I'll give you as many as I can. Sometimes it's cold in the winter. Sometimes it's rainy, and, you know, they can put the bags over their stuff. And I try to do what I can. But I can't go and give money every week, because then every week they want money. It's sad.
Oh, yeah. No. I totally get you there, because in the business I'm in, man, one guy will be like, hey, you got a cigarette? If you say yes, you're going to have every tank hitting you, man. You got a cigarette, Mitchell? No, I don't.
every week. But when I do go to the donut shop, there's a 24-hour donut shop, and a lot of times a lot of people just hang out outside there, you know, homeless or just random people out in the middle of the night at these 24-hour donut shops. And I always, when I'm walking in, I'll just say, hey, do you guys want a donut? Like, you know, if there's like one, and not if there's 10 people, but if there's a couple people, you guys want a donut? Yeah, man, sure. I was like, what kind do you want? I'll go in, you know, I'll bring them out a donut. You know, that little donate meal makes a difference. Like, oh,
hey, man,
you know, thanks.
And that's the thing, man. That's what makes the world go round, is people trying to help other people, not trying to kill each other, you know?
Yeah.
And it seems sometimes in this line of work, you're sitting there going, man, that all you see is that.
Yeah, definitely. It's all about, you spread positivity comes back to you. You know,
if you
be an asshole, then you definitely just expect it to be treated like shit. That's the way the world works nowadays.
Right.
So, Ian, man, so you started off like, well, you didn't start off, but you worked at the Crazy House.
Yeah. I started off there when I was 19. I was fresh out of high school.
Dang, you just went straight for it. Like, I'm going to do the most difficult thing ever.
Well, what it was I was a pretty good fuck up in school. I mean, I didn't do drugs or anything, but I was in fights constantly and all sorts of shit. If somebody wanted to fight, I had no problem beating somebody's ass. That really didn't bother me. And, you know, the thing is, I never started it. And a lot of people say that, but I can tell you God's honest truth, I never started a fight, but I finished them.
Yeah, you know what? I can tell by the little that I know you. You don't have the personality of a guy who wants to start shit. You seem like a very open-minded person, a person who likes to get along with everybody. But maybe if something happens, you're going to swing back.
Well, and that's the thing, man. I've always tried to work for the underdog. All my friends were so much smaller than me. I was the only jock in my little crew that I hung out with. So I was the only guy that actually lifted weights and did things like that. So I went to this Christian school. Oh, my gosh. Went straight from public school in my 10th grade year, and I went straight into a Christian school. I was like, you got to be fucking kidding me. I'm going to a damn Bible-pushing school. And
you're not a religious guy? You say you're Christian, non-denominational?
At the time, I thought I was a Christian, and this school really showed me that I was definitely far from it. And, you know, my dad's a Southern Baptist, but you got to also look at, from where I come from, my dad was a TDC officer, which in the state of Texas means that you worked in prison systems. And he was a prison guard for 20 years, and my mom was a trauma ER nurse for, at least 23, 24 years. And so my parents,
ER nurse, wow.
Yeah, so she saw the worst of the worst, and so did my dad. And so this was instilled and beaten into me. And so I think that was kind of my part for wanting to fight was, you know, my mom was never at home sometimes, and my dad was a little overbearing trying to make us to be good people, me and my brother. And I think, you know, I had a lot of pent up anger, and I suffered with a lot of depression and things like that as well. And came close to committing suicide several times and things like that. But, you know, I'm better now, of course. But my life has been a crazy little weird trail. But it took me to this little tiny ass school, and I was not happy about it. Oh my gosh, I was like, this is so stupid. I don't want to come here. These people are all there was a dress code, for God's sake.
Oh no, no dress code.
Khakis, proper pants, and polos. Motherfucker, I wasn't wearing a polo unless somebody died. Okay. that was the way things happened. And so we show up here at this place, and I see all these people in all this stuff, and I'm like, you got to be shitting me. Well, it turns out this was the greatest move of my life. I made great friends. They weren't a bunch of Bible-clutching idiots. They were like, oh, dude, have you ever heard Christian music? I go, yeah, God loves me, and all this other shit. And they're all like, no, like Demon Hunter, like Skillet, you know, these guys.
Skillet, yeah, Skillet's good, dude.
Well, I've seen Skillet, I've seen Red, I've seen Brian Head Welsh in concert, actually caught his drummer's drumstick. I've talked to the lead singer of Project 86.
Nice.
On accident. I didn't even know who the fuck he was. We were just talking about prices of fucking hot dogs at the place. And then he got up on stage, and I was in the mosh pit, and he fucking pointed at me, and I was like, you gotta be fucking kidding me. That's the guy I was talking to. And all my friends are like, you're fucking insane.
Dude, are you into like rap? Because there's a lot of Christian rappers that are
there
actually
are.
Really
there
good.
Are.
Lecrae and Toby Mac.
Yeah, Toby Mac and Lecrae are pretty decent. I'm not a big rap fan, but I mean, I can appreciate music for what it is.
Yeah, yeah.
I listen to all kinds of genre. Like right now, man, I've been into this band called Trevor Something. If you haven't heard of them, look them up. It's retro techno.
Is it actually called Trevor Something?
Trevor Something.
Okay.
And man, it's freaking fantastic. It's retro techno music, but okay. He's a British guy, and he plays for today's kind of, you know, stuff. He adds his own little new stuff to it, but I love his shit.
Well, at first you were saying Trevor Something. You said, I'm really into this band called Trevor Something. I was like, you can't even figure – you don't
no,
even
no,
know
no.
the rest
and
of it.
That's
like,
the
Trevor.
Real name. That's what I loved about it.
Okay,
I was like,
awesome.
Trevor Something. That is fantastic.
That is cool. I like that.
So I went to the school for 3 years and ended up falling in love with a woman that I hated when I first started there. We hated each other. She thought I was an arrogant shithead, and I thought she was a pretentious prude.
Wait, did I hear a giggle in the background?
Yes, you did. She's sitting right here.
Oh no, she's monitoring me.
Oh yeah, she's monitoring me. I'm being watched by the warden. And so we're sitting there, and we were in choir. We were singing. Yes, me and
oh,
choir.
You're in choir, man. Give us a little taste of that.
Oh shit.
Give us a little taste of your give us a little choir taste.
Well, I mean, it just depends on what you're into. Like choir was different for us. We used to perform on the fair on the square here in town. We've sang Atreyu, Lead Paper and Anchor Sales.
When you say Atreyu, I'm thinking of what's that movie? Atreyu.
The Never Ending Story.
Yeah.
Everybody thinks of that now. But we sang a lot of Atreyu. We did Three Doors Down one time up there. I mean, we've done all sorts of songs up on the fair and square for the town of where I live. And so we got pretty involved into music. And so we're sitting there, and she commented on something. I said something about my voice sucked, and she said that it was nice. And my entire school turned and looked at her because she was like the quiet jerk female kind of girl in the school.
Yeah, she sounds awesome. Tell your wife to say hi. Say, hey, what's up, Sean?
Sean wants you to say hi.
Yeah, your wife sounds like a kick-ass. Like, yeah, man.
Oh, yeah. I'm telling you, dude, we got into a fight one time, and I mean, like, I've never been this angry at somebody. I was almost in tears. And this woman walks up and grabs, not like physically grabs my neck, but walks up to me and just kind of like, ugh! And I'm looking at this woman. I couldn't be mad anymore. I was like, this little chick. I'm 6'1", dude. I'm 270 pounds.
Oh, man.
And my wife is like 140. 40 maybe, and she's like 5'6", 5'2". Okay, she's short, and she walks dead up to me in this rage, and I'm like, this woman knows that she'll never be hit. Like, look at this little spitfire. And so it turns out that I was 19, started working at this facility because we had been dating since I was 18. Well, about 6 months in, I damn near die in a car crash with my wife. A guy T-bones us.
Oh, man.
Well, I'm sorry. She was my fiance at that time. He hits us. My wife gets her collarbone broken in 3 spots on her right side, punctured lung. And glass and scratches all in the side of her head. I break my eye socket, my cheekbone.
Oh, shit.
In several different spots. I had glass all in my legs. I still have glass in my head. I can feel it. I have scars all the way up the side of my head. All sorts of shit. And this is 2 weeks before my wedding.
Oh, damn. Did your wedding still take place?
It did. My wife had her surgery to put a titanium rod into her shoulder. 11 screws are in there. It looks like a big caterpillar. And we went to a place called the Rose Gardens, and we went ahead and got married. And I say, because we had our date for the actual wedding, you know, move the ceremony. We had it moved to April, but we kept March 23rd. And I still say today that she was prettier in a sling than she was in her wedding dress. And that's my day. That was what we did. But I got married when I was 19. And so I've got a new job. I've got a wife. I've got responsibility. And, you know, we were making it. We were living in a piece of shit, 1984 trailer.
Yeah, you got to start. How old are you right now?
I am 23. I'm going on 24 this year.
23? Man, you're still a youngster.
Oh, yeah, no, but I've lived a full life. You know, I've done a lot of shit in my time. I had 3 jobs at one time, and we're doing all sorts of stuff. My wife is 7 days younger than me, so we're literally growing up together.
That's cool, man. That's an amazing story. I mean, so you've been married since you're 18?
19.
And that's a cool story, man. That sucks. Like it, one person not paying attention or drunk or on drugs can just kind of screw up.
He said he fell asleep and he hit us with a 3/4 ton.
Oh shit!
And he had a 17-foot low boy trailer, and then he had a Bobcat on it, which is about 2 tons.
Falling asleep when you're driving is super scary. I mean,
well,
I've had
the problem was,
man.
Like I drive a big Dodge now, but at the time I was driving a little 03 Ranger.
Oh no, it's small.
And
truck.
This Ranger, man, this Ranger held up. I mean, what I saw was my entire cab lit up, and I hit the fucking gas. Just all I had was a second. I was like, oh shit. And I saw his headlight coming, so I gassed it and then turned into him. So about this time, his right headlight is probably about right in the middle of my passenger door. Well, all I'm thinking is if he hits us like this going flat, we're gonna flip. So if I turn into him, we're gonna deflect.
Yeah.
And not flip. And so I remember everything went really dark. It was summertime. It was 8:43 on the dot. I can even remember the song and where it was in the song.
What song was it?
It was by Young Blood, and it's
No. Wait, so you're bumping some rap?
Oh, darn.
Is Young Blood rap? That sounds like a rap.
No. It's not rap.
Oh,
it's from the soundtrack of one of the new Underworlds, an Underworld movie. It's Young Blood, and it was – oh, God, dog, that's going to bother the hell out of me. Okay, Young Blood is a song. Birdie is apparently the person.
Oh, okay, because I think there's a Young Blood rapper.
Like, oh, I'm sure. You know, he's some badass or something. Yeah.
It was like that from that. So like your wife, does she struggle with, you know, pain and stuff from that? Because you said she got a rod. I mean, you imagine stuff like that, especially when it gets cold or.
You know, my wife's a hell of a trooper. She pretty much walked this shit off, and it surprises me every day. It does hurt. Just like when it's going to start raining and stuff, my wife's shoulder will start hurting. My face will feel like somebody took a hammer to it. Damn. And so we're like, well, it's going to rain.
Oh, so that's even better. Fuck Weather Bug and Weather Channel. Right. Because I just got to call up Ian.
Yeah, it feels like we're going to get hit with a hurricane. and that's the thing. She was a trooper through almost all of it. And the best thing about it is that she doesn't remember a whole lot about the thing.
Yeah.
Which is good because I didn't black out. She passed out at one point. And I remember all of it, and I'm glad that she doesn't remember.
Yeah, it happens so quick. You're like it's like, oh shit, there's headlights. Got to do this.
Yeah. And we went through three lanes and up over a curb.
Damn.
And
how fast was he going?
He had to have been going at least 50 to 60 miles an hour.
Oh, dude, that's.
And I was going 40 down a hill, and he just T-boned us. He went right through this little intersection.
That's scary.
And it was probably one of the worst moments I've ever had as far as a situation like that. I've been in car crashes, but never anything like that. You know, it was pretty dramatic. It was pretty serious experience.
You've been crashes. So you're saying like you've been in a lot of car crashes?
I've been in two other ones.
Oh
yeah.
Like serious ones or
one of them was it smashed up a radiator. My mom used to work late nights, at an ICU. And so, one of them was, she ran into someone on accident. Wasn't like ran into them, but just hit them. The other one was that her and this other guy were both nodding off as the second time. And we kind of had a head on collision.
Oh man.
And I was a little kid at that time. Which my mom would like scold me if I told that, but
maybe you're accident prone, man. You need to slow down.
Oh shit, dude! No, that's not even the half of it, man. I was in freshman. You know how you got those little dry racer boards, okay?
Yeah.
For your locker. Yeah, I dropped it. Okay, so it breaks and the dry eraser board hits the ground. I go, oh cool, okay, whatever, great. My fucking dry erase board is broke. So I grabbed it and it made a little wobbly sound. You know how a little sheet metal does. And I was like, oh, this sounds cool. So I started kind of shaking it. And this dipshit comes up and grabs it out of my fucking hand. It hits me in the thumb. So I'm like, oh, okay. It looks, you know how like a little kitten scratches you and you got that little scratch. That's what it looked like.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, whew, shit, damn, you know. And I was like, dude, you know that could have fucking. And about that time I see my hand just turn red and it cut my thumb all the way to the bone.
Oh, man.
Cut my tendon in half on my left thumb.
Jesus.
And so all this blood is going down my arm. And I'm like, what the fuck? And everybody's like, blood. It was like piranhas, man, in the middle of the fucking high school hallway. Everybody was on me. I was like, oh, what the fuck? So I was like, get the hell out of my way. I'm sitting here applying pressure to my fucking thumb. Blood's going down both my arms. I'm like, I'm going to get blood on my blue jeans.
Oh, no, not your blue jeans, dude. Not the blue jeans.
Those are my favorite motherfucking blue jeans. And I was just like, you got to be fucking kidding me. What is wrong with all you people? Why are you huddling around me? And so I had to run to the nurse's station. The doctor and them gave me 4 stitches. Doesn't sound bad, but man, the scar is pretty damn big. But he said that I might not be able to use my thumb.
Oh.
And that's not the case. I have full range motion of my thumb. I didn't for a long time. It took me a couple of months to get a full fist. But now I've got pretty good grip. It's a little loose on my thumb than I'd like, but you know, that's it. But I mean, dude, I've been kicked over by a deer.
Kicked over by a deer?
It was a science project, okay? Now I lived out in the woods. We lived in a place called Buck Scuffle. Or okay. No, Buck Snort. Sorry, Buck Snort. Now
that
it's
sounds like that sounds like a sex like position.
we lived in Bucksnort. Now it's been changed. We went up to the upper echelon. Now we're Buena Vista.
Wow.
Yeah. It's a little territory out in a place called Shelby County. and so I'm looking for some stuff for science class for my brother, pine cones and other things like that. And I hear something in the woods. Well, I freak the fuck out because I'm like 6 years old. And I had just watched a movie about hogs eating people.
Oh, yeah.
So I thought it was a hog, man. I scream like a little girl, and I'm running my ass off. All of a sudden, I hear a hoof print. Something runs me over, And it fucking just, it's a deer, just ran me flat the hell over.
No shit.
And so I've got hoof prints on my shirt and all sorts of shit. I come around the corner screaming and crying. My mom's laughing her ass off. She thinks it's funny.
That is funny.
Yeah, my dad's singing. Ian got ran over by a reindeer. It was fucking
Holy
off.
Holy shit, Grant. Ian got ran over by a reindeer.
Oh, yeah. He thought it was great, too. Golly, man. I've had so many crazy ass shit happen. It's just unbelievable. It'd take forever for me to tell all the stories.
You sound like a guy who's 60 years old and been through some shit, but you're such a youngster, man. I've got 10, 12, I've got 13 years on you.
Well, you know, and that's the thing, man. You got to be like a sponge.
Yeah.
You got to absorb as much as you can as quickly as possible.
Plus, you get cool
college.
Stories. You get those cool stories right now.
Yeah, man. Like I went out to Carlsbad, New Mexico. And I was working for H&P, which is an oil rig company. And I had never drove that far by myself. Now, from where I live in East Texas all the way over to Carlsbad is about 13-hour trip.
What?
And, to get to El Paso from here is like 15 hours. No. Texas is just massive, man.
Yeah.
If you don't like where you are, you got four other climates to fucking choose from. We've got plains. We've got coastal, desert. We've got swamps and mountain areas.
Yeah.
Texas got it all.
Yeah, I mean, I flew in. Okay, I lived in Texas for a couple of months. I flew into
Abilene.
Abilene, Texas. I lived there for a very short amount of time. It's a kind of a smaller town.
It's about 4 hours from me.
And then we drove down to Port Aransas, and we lived there literally on the beach in like a tent for a little while, and then like in a little cottage. And like it was fucking cool out there. I mean, there's like these little swamp areas where there's alligators in there. You just can literally touch them, reach down and touch their tails and stuff. It was crazy.
Yeah, man. And that's what I love about Texas is, man, it's so beautiful and it's huge, and we have our own. We have our own little fuck you system to the government, too. You know, our Constitution protects us from a lot of shit. Like, the Texas Constitution is actually still in effect.
Yeah. You know what, though? Okay, this is what everyone talks about for the people who don't live in Texas. It's all about the Texas barbecue. Is that true?
Well, you know, Texas is actually supposedly known for its chili, but I've never fucking seen a chili house. Texas Chili House. Have you seen one of those? Not me.
Is the barbecue good? Is that Texas barbecue good, man?
It depends on where you are. I will say this. The further you go, like towards San Antonio and all that, you will find some of the best freaking steaks you'll ever eat in your life. And they're in like Saltgrass and all of these different places. Now, where I live, we're Cajun. We live right next to Louisiana, so it's different for us. Now, we have barbecues, but we do a lot of Cajun food where I am. But I have to say, dude, some of the best shit I've ever eaten is in a Saltgrass in San Antonio, Texas.
Awesome. Yeah, I want to go to Texas, man. I loved out in Texas, but I had to go. Well, my situation wasn't great over there, but every like the people in Texas, like you run into people on the street in the wave. If you're walking down the street carrying your laundry from the laundry basket, like the laundromat to your house, someone might pull over in a truck and go, "Hey, you need a lift? Hop in the back. I'll drop you off at your place." Like people are,
you know,
cool,
and
man.
That's the thing. You know, Southern hospitality is not a myth.
Yeah.
The problem is that everybody expected all of these things to happen, like, say, with all these officers getting killed. You know, I'm not trying to bring up any controversy or anything, but an officer got shot in Houston. Everybody thought that Texas was fixing to start these riots and shit. Texas doesn't play that shit. We like our law enforcement. We enjoy our law enforcement. I grew up in an actual predominantly black town, and I mean, I've never had a problem with a black person. You know, that's not my problem. I don't know where all this racist bullshit's coming from, but it damn sure ain't from Texas.
Yeah, people love to stereotype. That's just the way it is. I mean,
yeah, and that's a thing. But, you know, Texas is a beautiful place. We've got the Rocky Mountains here. We've got the Rio Grande, all sorts of stuff, man.
Yeah, I love Texas. The little bit that I experienced over there, I mean, I liked it. I like the people. I like the areas. I'm a critter freak, man. I was like catching turtles and geckos, and it was fun, man. We were on the hunt.
But I mean, you live in California, right?
Yeah, I live in Fresno, California, which is like the valley.
I've never actually been there. I mean, I've always wanted to kind of go to California, but I mean, I've never been that way.
Right now, it feels good to be in California because all my friends in the East, all my friends in the East Coast are sending me pictures of all the snow.
That's the funny thing. It's like 32 degrees here, but I mean, it hardly ever snows.
32 in the day or 32 at night?
32 usually till about 11 noon. Then it gets about 50.
Yeah, we're in the mid 40s at night right now, which is not bad at all. And then the daytime, we're like you know, 50s, upper 50s.
Right, right. You know, the problem is that, like, say when I was working in Carlsbad, you know, the heat out there is dry.
Yeah.
And the heat where I am, it's, I mean, we're at a 109 humidity point right now, even in the winter. And that's what kills you about East Texas is it is just the humidity that just bogs you down. Oh, yeah.
It's sticky. Yeah. When I was out in Texas, just walking to the corner, you know, like walking half a mile, like your shirt would be drenched.
You know, and every year I get out there and work in our deer lease and everything. We've got 1,100 acres to hunt on. And I mean, that's some hard ass shit to do.
That sounds like fun, dude. I envy that. Everyone like envies California. The weather's okay, but like either it's too high, like the cost of living is way too high. Bay Area, well, LA.
And see, that's the best thing about Texas. We don't have a state tax.
Yeah,
because we're so self-sustaining, we have so much to give ourselves that we have a lot of lower taxes than most people.
What is the minimum wage in Texas? Do you know?
The minimum wage right now is $7.25.
Wow, yeah, ours just bumped up to 10. Ours is 10.
Well, you know, and that's the thing. Like, say for instance, everybody wants to start doing that inflation on $15 an hour. I'm going to tell you right now, I work with scum of the earth. And I don't freaking make $15 an hour. I mean, I make maybe 12, maybe.
But you could live on that in Texas, like certain areas.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. No. Me and my wife, you know, she works at Walmart as a cashier, and I work at this place, and we've got benefits. You know, both of our jobs give us health benefits. And, I mean, we've got money left over. I mean, it's not the greatest. We're not living fabulously, but you know, I bought her a brand new car and I got me a truck this year. And
nice. Yeah, that's good. See, like over here, I'm, you know, like we like on $10 an hour, if you're okay with your money and you're not buying a house or you're not buying a brand new car and have big payments, you can live off of $10 in Fresno. But in the Bay Area, no. Over there, you're looking at $1,500 for a studio. It's insane.
Well, there's this company called Zillow, and I look at it a lot. Well, I decided, I was like, you know what? I wonder what land, how much land is, you know, over in Hawaii. Because I check out around here, most houses are usually about 130K here. And that's for like a 5-bedroom house.
That's decent, man.
And yeah. I mean, I could actually afford that, you know, at that payment. Well, I went over to Hawaii. And I'm looking at their land. There was nothing under $500,000. There was most houses are at $1 million to $16 million.
Dude, you're talking about Hawaii, though. That's everyone's dream is to go to Hawaii.
Yeah, but I was like, dude, who the hell can afford all this shit? No wonder you got so much land up for sale.
Yeah.
I mean, it's ridiculous. Yeah. There's this place in Mexico for $15,000. It was a small hotel. I might get that. Go there with $10,000. I'd be like a king. Cartels show up, try to kill me for my money.
Yeah, Mexico is a different story, man. I've never been to Mexico. I imagine it'd be kind of fun, but like you couldn't really live there. I mean,
yeah, I would rather not. You know, nothing against the indigenous people of that wild land, but you know, I'm just not cool with Comancheros. I'm not all right with that.
That's a whole different lifestyle right there.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So you did the crazy house.
I did the crazy house, yes.
Okay, now you're working as a jailer, you said in Cherokee
County.
Yeah. What exactly does that entitle? What is a jailer? Cuz I've never really heard the term jailer, to be honest.
What a jailer is I'm a correctional officer by the state of Texas. What we do is the officer detains and then arrests the person. And there's a big difference between those two words. Now, we have to go to school in order to know our rights and the rights in which we have to enforce to keep people from being officially oppressed. and all sorts of things. There are courses that we have to take and things like that. But what my job is when the officer detains and arrests the person, they bring them into a place that we call the Sally Port. And it is a secure location with two doors, which the vehicle can drive up in. They bring them in through two double doors that lock on each side, and then they walk them into a place called processing. Every jail, by state standards, in the federal government in the United States must have a considered processing.
Okay, I've been there. This is all familiar to me. I've been there.
Okay. Well, in processing, the man who's asking you these questions to evaluate you is a jailer. All the guards inside of a jail are jailers. Now, my job as a CO is as soon as the person comes in, first off, we ask the officer, what do we have? The officer shows us the degrees in which he's being charged with, hands us the paperwork, and a law term called due process begins. What my job entails is I am now to take him into custody. If a jailer dresses them or asks them medical questions, we have now taken this person into custody. Now, at any point before that, I can actually tell the officer to get that person out of my jail. I can actually deem them not necessary to be here.
How often does that happen? How many out of 100 does that happen?
I believe at Cherokee County, since it's been started way back when, it's probably happened 3 times.
Okay. Not a high percentage.
And the problem is that most of the time you're not going to piss off the officer because he's going to go and piss off your superior, and then your captain's going to be breathing down your neck. I wanted to turn one guy down one time because he brought in a guy with 2 broken ankles and 3-degree burns on his hands from a previous car wreck within a week before this. But this guy had apprehension warrants on him. So I'm sitting there going, so let me get this straight. You brought in a guy who can't even fucking walk. You're a badass. He's just going to get PRN bonded out tomorrow, which means that his health is in such decline that the jail doesn't want him to become more harmed in our jail because of his health.
Yeah, liability.
Yeah. And so he also hasn't changed his gauze out on his hands in almost 15 hours. Well, we don't have a medical professional on staff at all times because my jail is under that standard. If we're lower than 210 in the state of Texas, a jail doesn't have to have a medical professional on staff at all times. So, me having the training that my mother gave me, being a nurse, I was the one who had to clean his hands. I actually had to take off his gauze, make sure that the wounds weren't pussing too bad. I had to actually rub ointment on him, clean him out, make sure his hands were cleaned. And, oh, man, it was gross, but it's so fucking cool at the same time. I was so giddy with excitement. No, I got out of work that day, cool. And I called my mom, and I'm like, oh, man, my first burn victim. It was so cool.
Oh, no.
And, man, I was an adrenaline junkie. Before I met my wife, my dream job was to be a field surgeon in the Marines. I wanted to be a field corpsman and patch up wounded soldiers out there in the middle of, you know, the guy that they yelled medic to. That was what I fucking wanted to do, man, go and die in some ditch with no name. And so, you know, that's what I live for. That's why I enjoy this job, because being an officer, even a correctional officer, it's my job to ensure that this man stays alive. So if that means that I have to die in order to save somebody, that's my job. That's actually what I have to sign off on. What my job is this person sits down, we evaluate them medically by asking them if they have any illnesses, diseases, are they taking medication, have they seen access or any mental health facilities, have they ever been in a mental health facility. We were talking about those questions earlier. Some of these questions get really in-depth and I believe are very impersonal. Like they're very rude. I don't feel comfortable asking them. But, you know, I'm told by my superiors that we have to. Like, one of them is, in school, were you ever told by teachers that you had difficulty learning? Why the fuck do I need to know that shit? What does that have to do with anything? I'm like, which dipshit made this? And they're like, some upper echelon from Austin, Texas. Because Austin, Texas is our seat, you know, of capital. So all of our judicial, all our military, and all that actually goes from Austin and then gets branched out. So Austin sends out this thing, and I'm like, dude, some pencil pusher who ain't never fucking asked these questions in his life just sent this shit to me. And I mean, you should see the looks on these people's face when I'm asking, you know, do you feel like someone can control your mind and read your thoughts? And they look at me like, what the fuck? And I go, just answer the question, sir. I know it's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's all routine questions, but like, it's like somebody can. If somebody can control my mind, I'm not telling you.
I'm telling you. Now, we get nutcases. Do not get me wrong. We had this one guy, I'm going to say his name is Rodriguez. That's his last name. And I mean, that's a branch, ain't there? You could find him off that name. So pretty much the guy is sitting there, and he is crazy. We know he's crazy. Oh, man, this guy is a frequent flyer. He comes in all the time. And so I'm like, all right, Mr. Rodriguez, I said, do you have any previous military? He's like, yes, I'm an active Navy SEAL. I said, you're an active Navy SEAL right now. He goes, yes. I said, what is your rank in MOS? He goes, my rank is Sergeant General, Gangster General. And I'm like, Sergeant General, Gangster General. All right. I said, I've never heard that. That's a strange one.
Was it Gangster or Gangsta?
Gangster. He said it just like that. Very perfect. Gangster General.
Gangster General.
And I'm like, holy shit, this guy is fucking for real. And man, my buddies are all around me. Now, when they sit in front of you, they're kind of in a cubicle. So all they can see is the officer in front of them. And there's a piece of plexiglass between me and this person. So all the other CEOs are sitting around me in these other cubicles laughing their ass off real quiet. And it's making it so hard for me not to laugh at this guy's face. But I am keeping my composure and I am like – breaking out in sweat because I am so trying not to laugh. And he's like, he was getting mad because I asked him, I said, do you have any gang affiliations? And he goes, no. I said, well, didn't you just say that you were a gangster general? And he said, Sergeant gangster general, damn it. And we're like, oh, shit, okay. He goes, and that is a military rank. I said, well, I'm sorry, sir. I said, I'm just a lowly private. I've never heard of that, you know, in my military experience. And he's like, oh, we'll carry on. I was like, yes, sir. I gave him a salute and went on about my business. We've had all sorts of people. Right now we've got a guy, last name Hopkins. Oh, man, laugh my ass off at this guy. He is a mean little old bastard. Every time you talk to him, he's like, you're going to die, motherfucker. And he gets about this close to the mic and he's like, you're a fucking asshole. And you're just like, holy shit, Mr. Hopkins. I'm like, Mr. Hopkins, can't we be friends? You raped me. And I mean, that's the conversation. It gets pretty fucking wild. I'm telling you people, dope is a bad thing. Don't do embalming fluid.
Oh, no. Wait, what is that called? Is that ketamine?
Out here, we call it water or wet.
Wet. Oh, yeah, getting wet. Yeah, it's like, what else do they call it, though? They have another word for it.
I don't know. All KJ? We call it is water.
KJ, and I think?
I don't know.
Hmm.
It may be. I know that the common usage is water out here. And a lot of the guys at the state hospital used water. And the problem with embalming fluid is when you smoke it or you lay it with meth and shit, you're not going to come back from the high. You have a 50-50 chance of never coming back down.
Well, so they're doing embalming fluid with meth at the same
time?
And
they're lacing it with meth, or they'll lace it with cocaine or something like that, or they'll just smoke it right out of it.
Dang, like, and you're ready to die, man. You're ready to die.
Oh, yeah, no, we had another guy, young. This guy, now he comes in for alcohol all the time. P.I., 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 P.I. I mean, that's public intoxication. We get his ass all the time. Well, this time he comes in combative, angry, saying, holy, 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 praise Jesus, fuck you. And that was his quote. That was what he would say every time. Man's getting naked at every chance he gets, flooding his tank, shitting in the middle of the floor. I'm telling you, he went on like this. He would get about 2 hours of sleep a day. And he would be up screaming all night, holy, 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 praise Jesus, fuck you. And then he would do karate moves.
Oh, no. So he just, like, says the same thing repeatedly?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Praise Jesus. God loves you. Holy, 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 fuck you. And then you're just like, holy hell, man. You'd walk by and you'd be like, Mr. Young, put your pants back on. Fuck off. And then he'd, like, grab his nuts at you and all sorts of... It was great.
Oh, no. So how much nuts have you seen, man?
Oh, jeez. Oh, my God.
Hey, how much nuts have I not seen? It's always nuts.
Between working at the fucking state hospital and this job... I've seen a lot of shit. I've seen a lot of people. And then I love it when you get one of those dudes that doesn't have a very big penis. And that motherfucker will be butt-ass nagging. He'd be like, yeah, never seen a penis that big. I've seen a little, you know, little babies be a little bit bigger than that. Oh,
I got a serious question for you. This is a deep down, this is a serious question.
Okay.
You work around, you see a lot of crazy stuff, you see a lot of drugs, you see a lot of crime, you see a lot of weirdos. Do you see the worst in people? Or does this stuff overwhelm you? Like, are you driving around?
It overwhelms everyone in my position.
Okay,
anyone
but like
who actually cares.
In your everyday normal life, driving around town, going to Walmart shopping, are you looking at people differently? Are you seeing the worst stuff?
Absolutely not.
No? Okay.
I am extremely optimistic. I believe that any man can turn himself around at any point in time.
Yeah, yeah.
And that comes from my position of being extremely depressed. It was ruining my marriage. It was ruining my life. I almost committed suicide several times.
Oh, man. Glad you didn't. Seriously.
And, you know, the thing is that in my position – If you let this shit get to you, it will get to you. But if you lose hope in humanity, then all you're going to do is be a burned out shithead cop.
Exactly.
And I can't be that way.
I got a lot of respect for you, man. I have much, much respect for you because sometimes you see a lot of stuff and you start to believe that that's the only way because.
Well, and man, when you start working, you go, I didn't know there was this many sex offenders around me. What am I going to do about my kids? What am I going to do about my wife? You know, and then you start thinking about it. You go, you know, it's not as bad as you think. It's not as bad as you think. You know, things are always worse when they're slapped in the face. That's why I don't have TV, man. I don't watch the media because it's all bullshit. I don't need to know what the fuck's happening somewhere else. What I need to do is take care of my little section where I am.
Yeah, that's very true. If you turn on the news, you're going to see negative, 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 negative.
Here's something. Man, there are so many cops out there that are damn good officers that'll never be remembered. And you know what? I plan on being one of those. I don't want to be remembered. I just want to be a good man. I just want to be a good cop. And that's what my dad always told me. You are the man that you are when no one is looking. And I take that to heart.
You know, I watched this video the other day. I just watched this on Facebook a couple of days ago. This cop got called out to this you know, lower class neighborhood. A lot of kids playing basketball, being loud.
Yeah, I saw that video.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that was so awesome. I was like, kudos to him. Man.
Yeah, so is the one you've seen, the cop goes out there and goes, look, you guys, we have neighbors complaining about you guys being loud. Can you believe that neighbors are calling about you guys being loud playing basketball in the street? Let's play some basketball. Then the cop, like, plays basketball with these kids.
And that's, you know, that's the thing. I was talking to one of our older officers and he goes, you know, whatever happened to the old days where you'd get out of your car and you'd close the door, lock up your vehicle and then just walk down the street and say, hey, to the people that live in your community.
Yeah.
He said, when was, you know, what happened to those days? I said, man, stupidity. Stupidity happened.
Stupidity. And also, I think this just like technology happened.
Everyone's phones. Albert Einstein said that shit. He said that technology would be the social media – or it would be the social killer of the world. He said when one has all technology, someone will have nothing.
In your fingertips, man. Like the computer we had 5 years ago can't do what the smartphones we have today can do.
Yeah. I mean my dad was talking about when he grew up, he remembers the first computer that his high school had. And it was a size. It was like 8 foot long and like 6 foot tall. That was a computer. And he said, you know, it was a generator for all the freaking computers and shit. And now, I mean, your phone will last 3 days on half a charge. And you're like, what the hell?
Not my phone. My phone, I can't even get through the whole day without a charge.
Well, you're probably more popular than me. It's like somebody texts me, I'll be like, ah, fuck off. I'm not texting you back. Call me if you really want to talk to me.
Hey, did you see the follow-up video? Did you see the follow-up video to that cop?
I didn't.
Okay, so They go back. He goes back to play with in that same neighborhood. He brings all of his cop buddies. So it's like 10 cops. And they bring Shaq. Shaquille O'Neal goes with them
play
basketball. Yeah, I just seen this morning, just a couple hours ago. So they go back with Shaq and all the cops and stuff to play basketball and stuff. And that, like there's a lot of heartwarming stories out there. I mean, there's a lot of good people. You can't let all the negative stuff taint you.
And that's the thing, man. Like, some of the other jailers will look at me weird because I'll have, like, we'll have some guy come in, and I know exactly who he is. And I'll be like, hey, what's going on, man? What the fuck are you doing back here? He's like, hi, Mr. Mitchell, da-da-da-da-da. And it's like, boy, I done told you to get your ass out of here. And I'll sit there and talk to him and go, man, didn't we talk about this? He goes, yes, sir. Yeah, we talked about it. I'm like, man, what the hell are you doing back here? Get your ass on over there. You know, and I'll mess with him, you know, playing around. I'll be nice to the guy. Even though, yeah, sure, he came in on drug charges. Doesn't mean that he's a bad person. Still means he's human.
Yeah, drug. I mean, I was always a good kid. I always stay out of trouble. And, you know, when I was young, I got, you know, I was introduced to speed. And I was stuck in that trap for 6 years. And I did all the worst shit you could think of. I mean, I did a lot of stealing, theft. And, you know, I broke free of that. I got into a rehab. I went into church celebration recovery. And I stayed focused for a while.
Well,
it's been 8 years.
That's the thing, man. You know, I don't want my position as law enforcement to set somebody off. Like, when I go back to my hometown, you know, I'll see some people that I didn't necessarily like at school, but I didn't really have a problem with them. And they'll be like, hey, Mitchell, what you up to? I'm like, oh, well, I'm married. You know, I got a house. You know, I'm like, you know, I got a good job. And they're like, oh, where do you work? Because I try not to say it too much. And they're like, oh, you know, when I tell them, you know, I work for Cherokee County Sheriff's Office, they're like, oh, it's like, oh, what? You got something to fucking hide? I mean, it's not like I'm a fucking cop right now. Hell, even when I'm not, when I actually become a cop, which I'm hoping in September I go to actually start doing my training. Sheriff's already sponsored me, so all my stuff's paid for. But, you know, we're sitting there, and even when you aren't a cop, you're a cop. But, I mean, you've got to be optimistic. And if you don't, you're going to lose sight of what's really important. My job is to be... Basically, the best way I can explain it is a shovel. A fucking shovel doesn't give a damn what it does or what it's being used for. It is a tool and an implement. Justice says that it is non-biased and does not show any bias towards anyone. It is justice. My job is to not have any personal feelings. I am a cog in the middle of this entire clock.
Okay.
And that's a reality. And I tell people all the time, if I caught my mom speeding, I'd put her ass in jail if she's going some ludicrous fucking speed. No one is above the law. If I'm fucking up, take my ass to jail.
Yeah, is that simple? You wouldn't send your mom to jail for speeding, would you?
I sure as hell would. That woman just slow the hell
down. You're like, I can't wait. I can't wait to do it.
I mean, I wouldn't. I'm saying, like, if she's going 108, yeah, that's endangerment, man. That's you're going to jail. Sorry, this is misdemeanor B.
Well, being a cop, man, that's a risky, risky job. I mean, are you ready for those risks? I mean, you're putting your life at risk every day.
One of the biggest things that I'm afraid of is leaving my wife alone. I'm really not afraid to die, dude. And that's a bold statement. A lot of people can say that shit. But you've got to realize I got a lot of good things from my depression. One of them was I never had any fear. I was never actually afraid of anything. So I've never lived with fear. If I saw something I wanted to do, I just went and fucking did it. And as a cop, man, you can't be worried about yourself. Somebody could be in danger. It's your job to put yourself between them and harm. That's the ultimate sacrifice that I'm going for. And it's not to be a fucking hero. I'm not trying to, like, blow my own horn. But in my sense, I'm kind of almost like a Viking, man. If I don't die doing something worth a fuck, then I'm not interested in dying.
Dude, Ian, toot your own horn, man. If you're willing to put your life at risk for somebody you may or may not have ever have met – That's something to be proud of, man. Always, like, be proud of that. Like, you know, no, like, for me, I mean, the adrenaline might kick over. If I see a car on fire or something, the adrenaline might kick over. But if I see like a big fight, dude, I'm not going to run in there and go, is the person in the middle, is this person innocent? Are you guys just jumping some random person?
See,
I'm afraid.
I've actually done that, man. Me and my buddies were walking down and saw another guy getting his ass whooped in the middle of the hall. Man, I fucking walked in there and decked the shit out of one of them because I knew who they were. They were shitheads. And they were constantly picking on people. I mean, I decked the hell out of this one guy. I went in there, and I mean, I got pops all the time in school, man. I got licks almost once a week.
Jeez.
And for fighting. And, you know, my principal's like, Ian, are you ever going to learn? I said, man, I said, get this shit over with. I got to go. I said, man, he's like, well, what are you going to do? He said, now I'm going to give you pops. I said, that's fine, man. Three licks. I said, but he's going to have that freaking swolled up eye that he can't see out of for the next 3 weeks. All right, and it's because he started beating on somebody. And my dad used to get so pissed off at him because he's like, what are y'all teaching kids? That it's okay to become oppressed? Fuck that. Why wouldn't I be praised? Not necessarily praised for beating the hell out of somebody, but, you know, hey, I took up for this poor little kid that was getting his ass whooped. Why would I get pops? You know, of course, that kid did too, but shit.
Hey man, you seem like a good dude. The little that I know, you seem like you're in it for the cause, and I have a lot of respect for that. I mean, I truly do have a lot of respect for you, man. No joke. We got about another 15 minutes. I'm gonna do some quick fire questions for you. I got some questions written down for you. I got one that's kind of personal. You don't have to answer. You can say skip if you want, but I'm gonna set a 2-minute timer and let's see if we can get through 10 questions. You want to do this?
Okay. Let's do it.
All right, man. So you got to answer these quick. We got 2 minutes. Here we go.
All right. Here we go.
First thing that comes to your mind when I say horribly awkward podcast?
Your beard.
Right on. Do you have any bad habits that you can't break?
I chew my fingernails.
Oh, you trim your fingernails?
I chew them like just barely so that I don't get them snagged on anything.
Okay. Who is your celebrity crush?
Oh, shit. Demi Moore.
Demi Moore. Yeah. You like the older women. Right on.
Hell yeah.
Right on. Have you ever been fired from a job?
Absolutely.
What job?
I worked for the railroad and they fucking pulled some bullshit on me and way too long to explain, but I did everything I was supposed to and the boss was an asshole because I made as much as he did.
Ah, what a boner. Okay. If you can go back in time to when you were a kid and tell yourself one thing, what would it be?
Nothing. I like how I did it.
Oh, damn. That's a good answer. Okay. What about this? Favorite porn search word?
Oh, shit. POV.
POV. I get that a lot. I get that a lot. Next question is, have you ever fired a gun? I guess I know the answer for that.
Absolutely. Thousands of them.
What's your favorite?
Oh, shit. Probably a 1865 musket from the Civil War that's been passed down through my family.
Oh, damn. That's sweet. Okay, if you won the lottery, what is the first 3 things you would buy?
I'd buy my wife the house she's always wanted. I'd get me a new truck, and then I would help pay off my mom and dad's bills.
Damn. Okay, if you legitimately saw a UFO land, an alien get out, would you tell anybody, or would you be afraid that people would think you're crazy?
No, I'd tell people. I don't give a shit if they think I'm crazy.
Boom. Dang, you're a quick thinker, man. You got through that no problem, man.
Was that it?
Yep, that was 10. Like, you're quick, dude. I mean, if you were to ask me the same questions, I'm not a real quick thinker when it comes to someone asking a specific question. I kind of freeze up for a second. Man, you're like,
well, man, that's my job, man. I'm asked questions like on the spot, just like that. I mean, you've got to be ready. Like 1 second you'll be doing something and all of a sudden you get a call over the radio. We got to fight in 3:40. Ah, shit. You throw your shit down. You're running as fast as you can, putting on gloves and you're at the door, man. I mean, it's a good 150 yard run.
Okay, last thing. Okay, I didn't come up with any good would-you-rathers, but I reached out to my friend, Sean Freeman. I said, give me a quick would-you-rather for this podcast I'm doing right now. So this is his question. It's real quick. Okay. It's real easy. He says, this is what he says. Would you rather Olivia Munn or Olivia Wilde?
Do you know what the hell does that even mean?
I think he's just saying, who do you think? I think, I don't know if he's saying, would you rather pork them or who do you think is hotter, Olivia Munn or Olivia Wilde? Do you know who they are?
I don't know who they are.
Damn. Okay. Olivia Munn was like, she was all over like the nerd TV.
I've got the internet. Hold on. Okay. Let me use the Google.
Olivia Wilde too. Olivia Wilde's okay, sexy let's as see. Fuck.
Olivia Young. Is that it?
Munn. M-U-N-N. Oh,
M-U-N-N. Okay, yeah, I like her.
Olivia Wilde. You probably recognize her from movies. I like Olivia Wilde.
Olivia Wilde. Oh, shit. Olivia Wilde, sorry.
Yep, in the... Yeah.
Sorry. It's something about those eyes and those cheekbones, man.
Yeah, she's hot as hell, dude. I mean, she's in a lot of movies that I've seen. Most recently was that one horror movie where they brought her back. She died, and they brought her back.
Oh, my gosh.
What the hell?
I didn't see that one.
What was that? I forget what that movie was called. That movie was called The Lazarus Effect.
Okay, I've heard of that. Well, I guess now I've got to watch it because she's in it.
So there you go. There you go, Sean Freeman, Olivia Wilde. So we're going to close this out here in a couple minutes. We got like another couple minutes. But what's your wife's name? Let's give her a shout out.
My wife's name is Nancy.
Nancy. I have an Aunt Nancy.
Yeah, I know. I tell her all the time she's got an old lady's name.
Yeah, you
just gave me the bird.
Yeah, you don't hear Nancy much from, you know, anyone younger than like 40 or 50.
Nope, and she starts gray and it's like, hey there, Nancy. She'd be like, fuck off, you son of a bitch.
Fuck off, Ann.
Oh, I tell her every year for Christmas, just stay with me one more year. You don't have to give me a gift.
Just why? Why is that?
Because she freaking puts up with me, man. I'm a handful.
You don't seem like a handful, man. You guys,
you should ask her.
I'm judging from the little bit that I know. I bet you guys have a fun relationship.
We do.
That's awesome. That's awesome, man. I envy that. I definitely envy that.
We're pretty much growing up together, and everybody's like, oh, everything will slow down when you get married. It's like, no. Especially, you know, like, I don't want to get too personal, but everybody's like, oh, yo, sex slows down. I've been fucking like rabbits for like 5 years, man. I don't know what the hell everybody's talking about.
Now, what you do is you go borrow that item from the third story from earlier.
Oh, yeah. No, dude. We got like three of those. All sorts of shit. There's a few sex shops near us. That shit's funny, man. You grab one of those giant dildos and you're like, who uses this?
It's like a fucking weapon. You ever played Saints Row?
He is the penetrator.
Yeah, I love Saints Row. He's running around with that big dildo.
Giant fucking pink one. It's just like flops all over the place. Dick Zilla or whatever. This motherfucker is like the size of my calf, man. Yeah, they wouldn't let me take a picture of that. This is bullshit. I was gonna send this to my cousins. Like, here you go, man. I found your perfect man.
Oh, why? You mean like take a picture in the sex shop?
Yeah, they wouldn't let me take a picture in the sex shop. It's called Open Minds.
Dude, sex shops? Like, seriously? You just go in there, you know, the 24 hours one, and just look at all the stuff? It's crazy.
Dude, there was a blow-up cow one time.
No, shit.
What the fuck? Who buys this shit? Oh, it's awful.
That is hilarious. A blow-up cow? Like,
yeah, man. Like a real blow-up cow, like a blow-up doll and shit. They've got a robotic woman in there that you can interchange hair and all sorts of shit.
Ugh, that was creep me the hell out when you
see. Like, for $500, they could get a real woman.
But then you got to clean her out.
Ugh. Yeah, it's like, damn, that sounds like a whole lot of work.
That's more work than having an actual woman.
Yeah, right? They clean themselves.
Yeah, you just deposit your junk and leave.
There you go. I'm done with you.
You handle that. So before we close out, first and foremost, man, I just want to appreciate that you came on. Maybe in a couple months again, we'll set up another podcast. I'm sure.
Yeah, John.
I'm sure you got like lots of cool stuff, and like, yeah, I learned a lot of cool shit tonight. And when you do become a cop, I'm gonna come over there to Texas and fuck with you, man.
Hell yeah, man.
I'm going to do burnouts. I'm going to do burnouts.
Literally open to everybody I know, man.
I'm going to do burnouts and say, fuck it.
Yeah, that's fine. I'll just have to pull you over. But, you know, I'll let you off with a warning. I know who you are.
Okay, man. So, on the side, you play a lot of games. You're a big gamer.
I do, yes.
You're a big gamer. You play a lot of competitive games and stuff. And you like to stream stuff, which is where I found you on Twitch streaming the new content for Tomb Raider and... Yep. I went to go check it out, and I was like, dude, this guy's kind of funny. Then you said, like, oh, if you guys are afraid of the popo or something, and I was like, dude, I got to have you on the podcast. What is your Twitter handle if people want to come watch you play some games?
Twitter handle is Smokey, and then it has the little underscore. It says J223.
Smokey underscore J223.
And the little story behind that was when I swapped my shit over to
Xbox One, it froze my Microsoft account and erased everything I had done for years on the 360. And they didn't even know how to fix it. They're like, we've never had this problem before in our life. I went through four different sections and even went to the district manager of the central section. And he didn't even know what to do. So they gave me a new subscription for like a year for free.
Oh, get a script. Give me a year subscription for all this work I put in.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, that's – yeah, thanks, man. I said, y'all do know why I'm so pissed. I was top 3% in the world with RPGs on Battlefield 3.
Battlefield. I love Battlefield. So are you strictly a Microsoft gamer?
I am not. My first console was a PlayStation, man. I played Metal Gear Solid for the first time when it first came out.
But you don't have PS4.
I don't, because they're not reliable anymore. Their stuff gets hacked.
Oh, no. Are we going to get into the fanboyism? Are we going to get into the fanboyism?
Don't get me wrong. I love PlayStation, and I always have a spot for it in my heart, and I'm going to get a tattoo of the old PlayStation 1 symbol on my arm.
Nice.
I love tattoos. But the ending result is I am a Microsoft guy now. But I try not to bash either one. It's just when I go with what I want, I go with Microsoft.
Okay. Okay, so if you don't reveal anything you don't want, but if you want people to come game with you on Xbox, then what is your gamer tag? If you want,
it is exactly the same. It's just Smokey J 223, and it's just all that, just one thing. It's got a space between Smokey and J, but that's it, man. Anybody want to come and game with me? I play all sorts of shit. I play from Battlefield all the way down to Battlefront, all the way to. I'm playing Dying Light again. I started streaming that yesterday morning.
I love Dying Light. I did everything I could, and now that it's coming out, that expansion, I think I'm gonna rebuy the whole thing on PC again and play through it again because I love Dying Light.
And I play a lot of stuff. And if anybody needs like help, training, anything, quick tips on Battlefield, I've got a full clan on there, and we're called Magnum Opus, and. I mean, I've had a clan for years on Battlefield, and we pretty much run servers when we play it.
Yeah, I played Halo with you last week or the week before with you and your buddy. What was your buddy's name again?
That was Golem. He's called the Golem now.
Yeah, you guys are like, that was fun playing Halo, but like this, what always happens to me when I play Halo is I just get mad because I can't.
Well, man, I must have been on drugs or something. I was doing pretty damn good because normally I'm not all that great.
Yeah,
but I was trying to show out. That was what it was.
Hey, look at this. Headshots all day, bro.
I'm a badass. Thank you.
Fuck you and your podcast. Yeah, that's awesome, man. That's cool, man. I can't wait till you become a police officer. A cop.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to be a cop.
Yeah, I'm going to be a cop.
Yeah, and a gamer. That's amazing.
Oh, yeah, man. No. I saw a great picture. It showed these two, like, 60-year-old guys playing Xbox on this couch, and I'm like, that's my generation right there.
Awesome.
I'm going to be like, son, get the hell out of the way. Let Grandpa show you how to beat this level.
Are you into, like, the tough games, though? Like, the real, like, tough – you know, like, how games used to be tough back in the day?
Oh, my gosh. Go back and try to play shit like Medieval. Battletoads. Fuck yes. Someone else who's played that. Oh, my God. You won't believe how many people didn't play Battletoads.
I didn't get very far in it, but I did play it.
Oh, my God. I loved Battletoads. That was the greatest shit ever.
Game, like, then Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles from the NES era was, like, difficult as hell, too.
Oh, my gosh. Medieval. I went back and started playing Medieval from the PlayStation. And I'm telling you right now, I must have been a great gamer when I was a little kid because I suck at that shit now.
Damn, yes. The games used to be tough. Now most games hold your hands unless you're playing like Dead Souls or Dark Souls and all that
Dark
shit.
Souls. Oh, my God. If you want to just rape your own face, that's a dark thing. Right there. Yeah. Another one, and I will give this one credit, is Dragon's Dogma. If you haven't played it, play the damn game. That thing is fucking fantastic.
It's tough, though. The only thing that's stopping me from playing it is no fast travel.
You know, and a lot of people don't like that. And it pissed me off, don't get me wrong, because I've become lazy. But, man, it makes it so much worth it when you beat the shit out of somebody. And you're like, yeah, fuck you, I'm limping home.
That game's pretty beautiful. So Ian, before we close the podcast out, is there anything else you want to say? Anybody? Do you want people to find you? I know you're not on Twitter. Do you want anybody to find
absolutely.
You?
Yeah, absolutely. They can find me. That's fine. My Facebook page just got shut down because of a stupid issue I did. And so I shut it down. It was mine. It wasn't like it got shut down because of nasty stuff or anything. But I'm fixing to open another one back up. It's called Smokey J's Entertainment.
Oh, that's right.
I'm going to reopen that, and I post quick clips and funny little stuff. If you want anything or request anything for me to play, you can put it on there. Find me on Twitch. Follow me on Twitch. I play everything from Elite Dangerous, which is where I really started, all the way up to shooters. I've been playing Dragon's Age here now again since they let out the Gold Edition. And, I mean, anything helps. When my wife gets on, she's fixing to start streaming. We're just working on her computer. She plays a lot of Ark. With a lot of big name people too, and you know, Minecraft and Sims and all that. So when she gets on there, she's called the Purple Crow, and she's going to be on there quite a bit more than I am. So if anybody wants to do that,
Purple Crow
with a K. Yeah, Crow with a K.
Purple Crow. Yeah, your wife's a trooper. She sounds amazing. So tell her that I told you that.
Sean thinks you're amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Brownie points. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
So, Ian, before we close out, what is one thing you've learned on today's show?
How to be horribly awkward.
Yeah, there you go, dude. All right, so for everybody else, you guys, leave me a voicemail if you want, 510-600-3475. Would love to play those on the show. Reach out to me on Twitter, @awkward_podcast, or horriblyawkwardpodcast@gmail.com. Find the Horrible Gamers at Horrible Gamers with the Z. That's the other show I do. And as well, we're going to be on the All Games Network. So allgames.com. We got kind of picked up by them. We're going to be running under there doing live shows on Saturday nights at 7, I believe. There's a chat room and everything. Cool. Also, the Social Dozen is the other podcast that Sean Freeman started up. And I will be doing that once a month, a random week. And we start that in 2 weeks. So if you guys want to find us on Facebook, the Social Dozen group, and expect the shows to start popping up on feeds, and I'll keep you guys informed, but that will be very, very soon. And as you guys all know, Horrible Gamers has a Facebook group, Horribly Awkward has a page, and @TheyCallMeIames, you guys can find me on all gaming platforms @TheyCallMeIames, or Twitter @TheyCallMeIames. And as Gidget would say, peace out, Brussels sprouts. Okay, we're gonna be, I'm trying to learn how to shoot a gun. I got a gun in my hand. We'll go from there.
Okay, all right.
I figured you like the guns.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, okay. Cut. Cool, man, that was good.
Yeah.
It's fun. It always turns into something fun. Pull up my notes and we'll get started, man.
All right. I've got my stuff laid out in front of me. I've got old reports. Every time I do anything, I make a report and then I bring it home and I save it on a flash drive and all sorts of shit.
Okay.
So.
Here we go. You ready?
Yeah.
What was that? Was that my phone? Did it just buzz? Okay, here we go. Cool, man. Thanks, dude.
Yeah, man. No problem.
Yeah, we could have gone forever.
Oh, yeah, no, man. I could talk forever.
Yeah, I can always do that. I wish I shoot for an hour and a half. We hit the 1 hour. Well, perfect timing.
There you go.